ओम अज्ञानी के निदान दश्य ज्ञान जन शरकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप पदमह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। मूकं करोति वाचालं पुंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं विनुतारम्। So today Gangamata Goswami is appearance day and Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan's disappearance day. So first I'll speak on Gangamata Goswami briefly and then I'll speak on Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan. In Bengal there was a king called Naresh Narayan, and he had a daughter. The name of his daughter was Sachi, and she was extremely beautiful and extremely intelligent. In her childhood she studied various Sanskrit topics like grammar, ornaments of poetry called Alankar, and these are the basic studies that one used to master, and she became extremely learned at a very young age, and as a result of that she became detached from materialistic life and she became spiritually inclined. Her parents wanted to get her married, and she was so beautiful that many princes wanted to marry her, but she was completely averse to the idea of getting married, and she kept on postponing and she kept on declining. So in due course of time her parents died and she became the successor to the throne, and for some time she actually took care of her kingdom, but very soon she lost interest and she wanted to disentangle herself from this unwanted material involvement, and she wanted to go out on a pilgrimage. So she assigned the responsibility of taking care of the kingdom to the ministers and some of her reliable relatives, and she went out on a pilgrimage. She traveled to different places with a few very trusted companions, and finally she came to Vrindavan, and all along she realized that she needed a spiritual master to guide her in her spiritual life. Without the direction of the spiritual master it was not at all possible to make positive advancement in spiritual life. By traveling to the places of pilgrimage was just a sort of sightseeing. She was feeling very empty within her heart. So when she came to Vrindavan, she came across a very great devotee called Haridas, and she decided to accept initiation from him. But when she approached him asking for initiation, he refused. He said, "This teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not meant for materialistically inclined people. This is not actually possible to follow. It's not possible for a princess to follow that." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself didn't want to see King Pratapavudra, and it has been described that Mahaprabhu came to teach Vairagya Vidya, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach the science of renunciation. So unless and until you develop this spirit of renunciation, you won't be able to accept the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So she took the instruction of the spiritual master, of her spiritual master, very seriously. And she immediately dropped everything, she immediately renounced everything. She put on a very simple cloth and started to beg from door to door in Vrindavan. And in this way, she started to lead her life as a mendicant. And so seeing her sincerity and detachment, her spiritual master agreed to give her initiation. And after giving her initiation, although she wanted to stay in Vrindavan for the rest of her life, her spiritual master told her to go to Jagannath Puri and stay there and not to leave. So Sachi Devi accepted the instruction of her spiritual master and went back to Jagannath Puri. And there she started to stay in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. By the time Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house was completely deserted, no one was taking care of the house or his deities, or his Shaligram Shila. So she started to worship the Shaligram, and every day she would give Bhagavatam class. And her purpose to Srimad Bhagavatam was so profound that a lot of people started to come, and it became the talk of the town that how wonderfully she is explaining Srimad Bhagavatam. The conclusions were so wonderful. So the message, actually this news, reached the king of Orissa, who used to reside in Jagannath Puri, and king then came to listen to her Bhagavatam class. And the king also became not only very impressed by her class, he had a dream where Lord Jagannath instructed him to give a piece of land by the bank of Sret Ganga in Jagannath Puri. All the places of pilgrimage, for all the places of pilgrimage is also present. Ganga is also present there in a white form. So it's like a pond, and king wanted to give her some land, but she declined. But because it was Jagannath's instruction, ultimately she accepted. And one day, Sati Devi wanted to go to Ganga to have a bath in Ganges on Makar Sankranti. It's an auspicious day when one takes bath in the Ganges. But she had a desire to go to Ganga to have a bath on that auspicious day. But at the same time, she remembered her spiritual master's instruction not to leave Jagannath Puri. So she was feeling quite bad that she could not go to have a bath in Ganga. So that night, Jagannath actually came to her and told her to go to Manasa Ganga. There is a Ganges also is present in the form of a whale. And Jagannath told her that she could go and take bath there in Manasa Ganga, and taking that bath will be non-different from taking bath in the Ganges. So she immediately got up and went to Manasa Ganga at night to take bath. And as soon as she took a dip in that whale, the whale transformed into Ganges, and the whole place became flooded, and the waves of the river Ganges started to move towards the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath and carried Sachi Devi. And she could see thousands of people were taking bath on the bank of the Ganges, in the Ganges, singing the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this sound actually reached, the guards woke up with the sound, and they heard tumultuous sound coming from within the temple. And they became curious, and although it is prohibited to open the door of the temple at night, they woke up the pujaris, and pujaris, out of their acute anxiety, they rushed into the temple and opened the door. But when they opened the door, they found that Ganga Mata Sachi Devi was standing in the middle of the temple alone. And they immediately thought that she must have come to the temple to steal the ornaments and jewelry of Lord Jagannath. So they took her to the king to be punished, and the king then put her into prison. She was waiting for trial. And although she was humiliated in this way, although she was a princess herself and sacrificed everything for the sake of Krishna, Radha Krishna, but here she was so badly humiliated, she didn't mind. She accepted it as Krishna's mercy. But when the king went to bed, he had a dream of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath came to the king and started to chastise him. He said, "How you dare to punish my devotee like this? How you dare to put my devotee into prison? I brought her to my temple, and who are you to put her into prison because of that?" So he immediately released her. And as a token of atonement, to express your atonement, repentance, you take initiation from her. So the king immediately released her from the prison and fell at her feet, begged forgiveness, and expressed his desire to accept initiation from her. And Ganga Mata Goswamini, actually her name till then was Sachi Devi, but because she received such special mercy of Ganga Devi, who actually springs from the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, that she got the name Ganga Mata Goswamini. And she initiated the king, she initiated some other very, very exalted personalities, and today is a very auspicious appearance day of that very exalted pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, to speak briefly on Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. Baladev Vidyabhushan has been considered to be one of the most brilliant stars or luminaries in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Baladev Vidyabhushan was born in a place called Remuna, Baleshwar, where the temple of Khijdar Gopinath is situated. And from his childhood, he was an extremely brilliant scholar. He mastered all different Vedic branches of learning, and he became naturally very much spiritually inclined after his studies, and he kept on traveling to different parts of India, to different places of pilgrimage. And traveling like that, he came to Udipi, the place of Madhvacharya, and the place of the Madhvacharya's followers. So he started to stay there, and he became very much attracted to Madhvacharya and his philosophy and his followers. So very soon he decided to settle there, and he took initiation from the Acharya in the Madhva line. And he was such an erudite scholar and a brilliant speaker that very soon he decided to travel and preach the message of Madhvacharya, the glory of Madhvacharya. So he traveled again to different parts, different places of pilgrimage, And then he came to Jagannath Puri, and in Jagannath Puri he settled down. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Jagannath Puri those days was the place of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It was after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's couple of hundred years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, because Baladevika Bhushan was born in 16th century, so it must have been about 150 or 100 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance. So although it was about only about 100 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, but there was a very noticeable decline in the Gaudiya Vaishnava following. Lot of unqualified people, lot of motivated people started to present themselves as the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but started to present their concoction as the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They used to externally dress like Chaitanya Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but or present as Vaishnavas, but internally they were not actually Vaishnavas or the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these Sahajiyas were destroying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. So around that time, Baladevika Bhushan was in Jagannath Puri, and the solid Gaudiya Vaishnavas, those who were in Jagannath Puri, felt what a wonderful accomplishment it will be to have Baladevika Bhushan into their fold. But Baladevika Bhushan was a very staunch Madhva follower, and none of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas there dared to go to him and try to convince him. But there was a very brilliant Gaudiya Vaishnava named Radha Damodar Dev Goswami. He was a disciple of Nayanananda Goswami. Nayanananda Goswami was in the line of Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit's disciple was Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu. Hridaya Chaitanya's disciple was Shyamananda Prabhu. Shyamananda Prabhu's disciple was Roshikananda. And Roshikananda Prabhu's grandson and servant was Nayanananda. And Nayanananda's disciple was Radha Damodar Dev Goswami, another very, very brilliant personality. He was born in a Kannakubja Brahmana family. And so he befriended Baladevika Bhushan. And he told him about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. He spoke to him about Jiva Goswami's Sat Sandarbha, six Sandarbhas. And so Baladevika Bhushan became attracted to him, and they used to have discussion, a spiritual philosophical discussion. So one day while discussing, Baladevika Bhushan was defeated. And it is a Vedic custom that when one becomes defeated, then defeated by somebody, he must accept him as his guide or superior. So Baladevika Bhushan recognized the superior position of Radha Damodar Dev Goswami and the superior conclusion of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Goswami. So he surrendered himself to Radha Damodar Goswami, and he accepted reinitiation from him into Radha Krishna Mantra, the 18th syllabled Radha Krishna Gayatri. And he started to study under his sadistic sandarbhas under the guidance of Radha Damodar Goswami. And then after a while, Radha Damodar Goswami instructed him to go to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Vrindavan to study sat sandarbhas. So Baladevika Bhushan left Jagannath Puri and went to Vrindavan to study under Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was very happy to receive Baladevika, such a brilliant personality as Baladevika Bhushan. And So he started to teach him the six sandarbhas. But by the time, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur was very old. So he went to, he was in Jagannath Puri, and he was in Vrindavan, and Baladev Vidyabhushan became his servant. So in this way we can see that Baladev Vidyabhushan's initiation line was actually coming from Govardhan Pandit to Nayanananda in that line, but his shiksha, parampara, succession was through Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And in the meantime, in Rajasthan, Jaipur, the Ramanandi Vaishnavas, a branch of Ramanujacharya's followers called Ramanandis, they raised an objection to the king that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are not a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya. Therefore, they should not worship the deities of Radha Govinda in Jaipur. Radha Govinda's worship should be performed by some bona fide Sampradaya, Vaishnavas from bona fide Sampradaya, especially the Ramanandi Sampradaya should have the right to worship, not the Gaudiyas. And they presented that the reason behind their claim was that Gaudiya Vaishnavas do not have any authentic bhashya or commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Because in India, to be recognized as a bona fide sampradaya, one has to have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. But Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not have any commentary. So, basing on that, they wanted the Gaudiya Vaishnavas should be, the worship should be taken out of their hands and given to the Ramanandis. So, they appealed to the king. Now the king himself was initiated in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So he felt very bad that his Sampradaya is being humiliated like that. But at the same time, he did not have any valid argument to defeat them. So he appealed, he sent a message immediately to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who was the Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya at that time, and requested him to do something to uphold the respect and glory of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti at that time was very, very old, so for him it was impossible to travel from Vrindavan to Jaipur. So he asked Baladev Vidyabhushan to go and speak to the Ramanandi. So Baladev Vidyabhushan went to Jaipur, and in Gaulka the debate took place with the Ramanandis. The Ramanandis presented that point that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas do not have any commentary. So in response to that, Baladev Vidyabhushan pointed out that the commentary to Vedanta Sutra, original commentary to Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the commentary of Vedanta Sutra that was written by the compiler of Vedanta Sutra himself, Vyasadeva. So because the commentary by Vyasadeva is already there, there is no need to write another commentary. That's why Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not write any commentary. Although the Goswamis of Vrindavan were extremely learned scholars and they wrote volumes of books, but they did not write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. But they did not accept that. They wanted to have an authentic commentary to substantiate the Gaudiya Vaishnava's conclusion. So Baladev Vidyabhushan then asked some time to come up with an answer. And after the debate, he felt very heartbroken. He went to Govindaji's temple in Jaipur and he prayed to Govindaji to save the reputation of the Sampradaya. And that night, Govindaji appeared to him and instructed him to write a commentary. And Balarabi Vidyabhushan mentioned that he was actually holding the pen, and it is Govindaji who actually wrote the commentary. And Govindaji actually told him, you start writing and that will be my commentary. You don't worry, don't feel disappointed, I will help you out. And Balarabi Vidyabhushan wrote this commentary and on Vedanta Sutra, which is the most elevated and most profound commentary to Vedanta Sutra. And Balarabi Vidyabhushan, in order to make it clear that this commentary was written by Govindaji himself, he called this commentary as Govinda Bhashya, or commentary by Govindaji himself. And this commentary has been summarized in a book called Siddhanta Ratnam. Siddhanta means conclusion and Ratnam means the crest jewel. The crest jewel of all conclusions. So Balarabi Vidyabhushan then took that commentary to the Ramanandis in the king's court, and when he started to read the commentary out, then Ramanandi could see that this was the most brilliant explanation of Vedanta Sutra, and they accepted their defeat, and they actually wanted because of the defeat, they wanted to take initiation from Balarabi Vidyabhushan, but Balarabi Vidyabhushan declined, just to respect his honor to Ramanujacharya, who has been recognized as the glorious Acharya of all time. The brief explanation of the commentary is, in the beginning, Balarabi Vidyabhushan actually explained the difference between Vivartavad and Parinamvad. Shankaracharya was actually posing the greatest threat to Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra had been completely distorted by Shankaracharya. And the commentaries are actually defeating Shankaracharya's Mayavad and establishing the real conclusion of the Vedantas or Vedanta Sutra. So Balarabi Vidyabhushan first pointed out the difference between how Shankaracharya's Vivartavad is actually a deviation from Vyasadeva's conclusion. Like, Vyasadeva is the propounder of or compiler of Vedanta Sutra, and Vyasadeva actually established a theory called Parinamvad or transformation, that Brahma actually is transformed into material elements. Sarvam Khalidam Brahma is actually a transformation, but Shankaracharya